Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
We would admonish school buses and UPS and those companies to move in the direction of LNG because of the increase they would pay in the fuel tax.
State Representative Keith Hall wants businesses and governments involved in transportation to convert their bus fleets to natural gas, even though Kentucky's tax rate for specialty fuels is higher.
A man has been killed in a shooting in Knox County.
And Kentucky State Police say a paramedic with the Carter County EMS has been fired because of drugs that were unaccounted for.
In sports, the Reds try to make it 2 straight over the Cardinals tonight as the clubs continue their Central Division showdown.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A shooting in Knox County early this morning left one man dead and a sheriff's deputy injured. Police say Deputy Brian Hensley was responding to a domestic disturbance on Orleans Court when he heard a gunshot come from inside the home. Upon entry, 44-year-old Jeffrey Frump allegedly fired at Hensley, hit him in the leg, and knocked him to the porch. Kentucky State Trooper Shane Jacobs spoke with WYMT.
The subject came onto the porch and showed the weapon, pointed at the deputy, and the deputy returned fire, striking Mr. Frump.
Frump was killed in the incident while Hensley was taken to the University of Kentucky Hospital for treatment. He was later released.
The Moorhead News is reporting that a 41-year-old man has been indicted by the Rowan County Grand Jury on charges of rape and sodomy in connection with incidents involving a girl less than 12 years old. The indictments were returned against Jerry Lynn Roseberry of Moorhead. Prosecutors allege Roseberry engaged in deviant sexual acts with the girl between March 1st and June 3rd of this year.
WSAZ is reporting that a teenage boy has been charged with the rape of a 5-year-old girl in Scioto County. Sheriff Marty Danini tells the station the girl's mother reported the incident this morning. He says the child was taken to the Southern Ohio Medical Center for treatment and then transferred to a facility in Chillicothe that specializes in caring for younger victims of sexual assault. The boy was reportedly charged after he was brought to the sheriff's office for questioning.
Police now have a good idea of who is responsible for the theft and tampering of several ampules of fentanyl and morphine from the Carter County Emergency Medical Service. The Kentucky State Police say an investigation began in late June after a report that came in from Emergency Management Auditor Sam Lowe. During the course of the investigation, it was determined several ampules of fentanyl and multiple doses of morphine had been removed and were unaccounted for. A suspect was developed, and it was later determined additional ampules of fentanyl had also been tampered with. The suspect, a paramedic, was initially suspended pending the outcome of the investigation, but has since been terminated and has also lost their emergency service license. Charges are pending completion of the investigation. The suspect's identity will remain anonymous until the charges are issued.
The Ohio Highway Patrol says a 43-year-old McDermott man has been killed in a collision involving two ATVs in Scioto County. The victim was identified as William Baker. Troopers say he was the operator of one of those vehicles when the accident happened on Arion Road early Sunday. The driver of the other ATV reportedly suffered only minor injuries and declined treatment at the scene.
A Rowan County sheriff's official admits his department's battle against the area's drug problem is never-ending, and he sees no end in sight to it. Chief Deputy Joe Klein says as soon as his officers seem to be getting a handle on one issue, another pops up to replace it. According to Klein, their goal remains to cut off the supply and demand for drugs, but he admits it's likely not completely achievable, especially when you talk about prescription pills.
Pharmaceuticals is so intertwined in our economies. You know, don't know how far it reaches sometimes. You know, there's legitimate uses for pharmaceuticals out there, and, you know, there's people that have needs and desperate needs for it. And as long as it's out there and it's going to be able to be prescribed to people that need it, there's always going to be, on the other hand, someone there that's ready to abuse it.
Klein says it would help local policing agencies if the federal government would put tighter restrictions on pharmaceutical drugs, but he doesn't think that will happen anytime soon. For now, Klein says his deputies will do the best they can to at least slow down Rowan County's drug problem.
Law enforcement groups across the Commonwealth are urging residents to do away with their unused or expired prescription medications. Kentucky now has nearly 150 permanent prescription drug disposal locations throughout the state, housed at police and sheriff's departments. The program is aimed at getting old prescription drugs out of medicine cabinets where they can't be stolen or discovered by children. Riley Ward is a Bowling Green police officer involved in the effort.
We've been able to take out all of the plastic pill bottles that you would receive from a pharmacy, and we give those to the Humane Society because they use those when someone adopts an animal. They put medicines inside of those. Of course, they clean them, take the labels off, things like that. So that's another good positive that comes out of this.
Ward says his disposal location collects about 100 pounds of old prescription pills every month.
One Kentucky state official believes the Justice Department recently reversing its stance on marijuana gives the green light to industrial hemp in Kentucky. State Agriculture Commissioner James Comer believes the ruling clarifies that the federal government does not and will not view Kentucky's industrial hemp as an illegal product, and they will not intervene on state-passed laws on the issue. Kentucky lawmakers did that when they passed Senate Bill 50. Comer says growing hemp gives farmers another tool in the toolbox.
You can't look at the market today. You look at what the market can be 10 years from now, and you look at what other states are doing. Everybody wants to be sustainable. Industrial hemp in other countries is replacing products that are currently being produced in the United States from plastic and trees. So I believe industrial hemp is a crop that has unlimited potential.
Hemp used to be a leading crop in Kentucky, and it can be grown in areas of the state where corn and other crops do not flourish. It will also be a replacement for tobacco farmers who have continued to see their incomes dwindle.
State Representative Keith Hall says he hopes more businesses and governments with buses convert their fleets from diesel fuel to liquefied or compressed natural gas, even though the state tax on specialty fuels is 5 cents higher. The Pike County Democrat says the organizations will still come out ahead because LNG and CNG fuels are less expensive and the buses will get better mileage. He says that doesn't even factor in the environmental benefits.
I hope in Kentucky we see a movement going in that direction for green, less pollution, using our in-gas in this state, severance and all the taxes paid, no pollution, as well as the extra money we would pay into the road fund.
Hall is a member of the House Transportation Committee, and he made his comments during a hearing this afternoon in Frankfort.
Bridge repairs at the Russell Viaduct on Kentucky 244 near its intersection with U.S. 23 will result in some traffic restrictions this Wednesday and Thursday. Kentucky Department of Highways spokesman Alan Blair says the southbound lane of Route 244 leading from downtown Russell to U.S. 23 will allow only larger trucks and commercial vehicles access in order to protect work crews. He says small cars and pickups should use the ferry underpass. Blair says even though the work should only take a couple of days, there's likely to be some traffic congestion and gridlock.
We want people to be aware of that and just kind of plan accordingly, because that area is going to be heavily congested if we, you know, with the work zones that are currently there for the Iron Russell Bridge project. And then when we do this quick little repair on the Russell Viaduct, and if there is going to be some congestion, expect some delays. We just want people to be aware of that.
Blair is also appealing to motorists to exercise caution when moving through the work zones.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says the Kentucky legislature needs to boost financial support for primary and secondary education, but members appear reluctant to tackle the issue. He says generating additional dollars for the schools does not necessarily mean lawmakers must raise taxes.
We keep telling the legislators in Frankfort that they've got to make some tough decisions to figure out how to bring more revenue into the Commonwealth. And there's several ways they can do that without raising taxes. If they just restructure what they got in place, my understanding, that would bring in about $1 billion extra a year for the Commonwealth.
Moore says bold decisions have to be made in Frankfort, not just for schools, but for all the other services Kentuckians need.
Kentucky Education Commissioner Terry Holliday says he's seen preliminary student accountability results, and so far he's pleased. Holiday specifically points to graduation and college and career readiness rates, which are both part of the state's accountability system. He says the results in these two categories will likely show the highest rates in Kentucky public school history.
Less than 2 weeks, you'll have the real numbers. The districts are still verifying the data, but the early results we're seeing are very promising.
Last year, nearly half of public school students were college and career ready, and the Kentucky graduation rate was 78%. This year, the state is switching from its old graduation rate formula to a more accurate count. Officials say they don't expect the new formula to alter results too drastically. Holiday says the results will likely be public in a couple of weeks, and state officials say all accountability data is expected to be released at the end of September.
A cyber attack on the Kentucky Department of Education's Infinite Campus information network has kept thousands of parents from accessing data online about their school children. State officials say no private student data was compromised and workers were beginning to restore access Friday night. The department's chief information officer, David Couch, told the Lexington Herald Leader they hoped to have repairs completed by the time schools reopen after the Labor Day holiday. He described the incident as denial-of-service attacks designed to disable the Infinite Campus system, not an attempt to access information about students.
University of Kentucky President Dr. Eli Capiluto says his school is working diligently to maintain access and affordability to higher education on the Lexington campus. The UK chief says few things are more important. Capiluto tells Inside Cable's Pure Politics those two goals are more sustainable if Kentucky puts additional money into its colleges and universities in the next state budget.
Well, life is going to be a lot easier, certainly, for Kentuckians if the state is able to step up. Recent data show that, some 30 to 35 states are able now to increase funding to higher education. I certainly hope the economic outlook in Kentucky turns to the positive.
Capiluto says UK was able to limit its latest tuition increase to 3% because its cost control measures have been effective.
A community college in eastern Kentucky has been named one of the best in the U.S. MSPR's Sam Steyer reports.
The Ashland Independent reports that Ashland Community and Technical College has been ranked among the top 50 community colleges in the United States by the National Politics and Government Journal Washington Monthly. In an annual study, the ACTC ranked 43rd among more than 1,000 colleges. The survey measured five benchmarks in addition to retention and completion. ACTC's results showed improvement in the benchmarks since the last time it participated in the study in 2009. Those improvements are being credited to initiatives in ACTC's advising and retention office. The office is also now planning visits and bus trips for students who are considering transferring to a four-year institution. For MSPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
Opponents of an Ohio law that effectively bans storefront sweepstakes parlors say they have enough signatures to block the law from taking effect on Wednesday. A spokesman for the Committee to Protect Ohio Jobs says the group plans to file more than 400,000 signatures with the Secretary of State in its effort to have voters repeal the measure next year. Those signatures would still have to be verified by local election boards. The group needs more than 231,000 valid signatures to place a referendum on the ballot. The opponent group wants legislators to pass a new law that regulates the industry and shuts down what it calls rogue operators. More than 620 internet cafes operate in Ohio. The law supporters say internet cafes were harboring illegal gambling.
Ashland Central Park will play host to this year's annual Art in the Park show. It's happening Saturday, September 28th, and is sponsored by the Kentucky Creative Arts Club. Spokeswoman Janet Lester says the show features competitions in several categories, including watercolor, acrylic, graphics, and mixed media.
It's probably the oldest art group still in existence in Kentucky. It's about 53 years old, I believe. We like to encourage new artists and older artists, anyone who likes to come and spend a day in the park and put their work out there for all the world to see in a little competition, a few ribbons, and a little bit of money.
Lester says the competition is open to all artists age 18 and older. She says the entry fee is $15 for up to 10 pieces. Registration begins at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And finally, a smoky aroma will soon waft in and around downtown Danville. This weekend marks the third annual Kentucky State Barbecue Festival. Unlike many Pitmaster barbecue competitions, organizer Brad Simmons says Danville's winning recipe can be taste-tested by festival goers.
And we thought that that was just kind of stinky. We were disappointed at several of these events, and in fact, we have competed in several events and never seen any people. The whole thing about barbecue is you want to share it with people.
Simmons adds their event has also attracted some of the nation's best pitmasters. The Kentucky State Barbecue Festival is Saturday and Sunday along Danville's Main Street. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including the cities of Greenup, West Liberty, and Owingsville. Tonight, mostly clear with areas of fog late with lows of around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with highs near 82. Tomorrow night and Thursday, mostly clear with areas of valley fog during the late night and early morning hours. Lows around 56, highs in the lower 80s. Thursday night, mostly clear with lows in the mid-50s. And Friday through Saturday, mostly clear with highs each day in the lower 80s. Lows Friday night in the upper 50s. Currently in Ashland, it's 78 degrees. Flemingsburg, 76 degrees. Winchester, 78 degrees. Lexington, 76 degrees. Inez, 77 degrees, and in Moorhead, it is 80 degrees.
It is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, three Kentucky healthcare providers are working together to improve heart care in Appalachia. As KPR's Stu Johnson explains, the partnership should mean fewer patient trips to Lexington.
The collaboration involves Appalachian Regional Healthcare, Appalachian Heart Center, and the University of Kentucky's Gilhart Institute. UK Vice President of Health Affairs Michael Karp says more cardiologists will be going to the Hazard area.
Set up a sort of regional referral center at ARH where they can get more extensive care, including bypass surgery and vascular surgery, and then also set up UK Healthcare in Lexington is the backup for those kind of procedures that can't be done even in an outstanding community hospital.
UK Assistant Professor of Surgery Edward Setzer says heart disease is prevalent in eastern Kentucky, but often not diagnosed early on. The cardiothoracic surgeon sees the combining of cardiologist groups.
Instead of having two or three different entities, or four, separate cardiology groups or separate independent cardiologists out all trying to do the same thing, one group is able to do that more efficiently and to serve the area more efficiently.
The agreement announced Tuesday covers six hospitals in areas such as Hazard, Whitesburg, Harlan, and Williamson, West Virginia. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
It is 4:48, all things considered, from NPR at 5 o'clock and Chase has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, open at 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and located near the entrance to the Moorhead City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, senior checks, and SNAP benefits accepted. For more information, the phone number is 784-5457. Kentucky proud. Nothing else is close.
Let the bell ring for round two of the Reds and Cards. Good evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott. Cincinnati Reds will go for another win over St. Louis tonight as they entertain the Cardinals at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. The Reds open the critical four-game series between the two NL Central contenders on Monday with the 7-2 thrashing of the Birds. Senyu Chiu and Joey Votto both homered to back-winning pitcher Matt Latos' complete game victory. Jay Bruce assisted Cincinnati with a pair of doubles and says grabbing game one was big.
Getting every game at this point obviously is important, but against St. Louis it's, you know, it's as important as it's ever been just because we can, you know, gain ground directly. And it was good. You know, we got a bunch of resilient guys here and guys that, you know what they're doing and know how to play baseball and are professional enough to take care of their bodies and be ready to play today, and we were.
The Reds now trail the second-place Cards by just 2.5 games. They're still 3.5 notches behind front-running Pittsburgh. The Pirates are in Milwaukee again tonight. Taking a look at some other notable matches for later tonight in the National League, the Phillies will host the Nationals. The Mets will face the Braves in Atlanta. The Cubs will welcome in the Marlins, and the Dodgers will be on the road to face the Rockies. In the American League, the A's and Rangers will square off in Oakland. The Rays will be in L.A. to face the Angels. The Yankees will host the White Sox, and the Red Sox will face the Tigers in Boston. It's back to work for the Morehead State football team as the Eagles prepare for a visit to number 25 Youngstown State this coming weekend. Quarterback Logan Johnson says he and his teammates remain disappointed by last Thursday's 13-10 upset loss to Pikeville. Johnson says the Eagles made too many mistakes to win, and the key now is to learn from those mistakes.
Yeah, it's tough. We just, every day at practice, got to get better, work on small things, and not let small things turn into big mistakes and just get better at little things.
MSU will take on a Youngstown State squad that opened 2013 with a 28-10 win last Saturday against Dayton. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says the Wildcats have to be a whole lot better than they were during Saturday's 35-26 season opening loss to Western Kentucky. Stoops is disappointed with the loss and the way the Cats performed during it.
You know, we need to get to work. We need to coach better. We need to play better. You know, we've got to put them in a better position schematically to win games, and psychologically we got to get them to play better and just get over the hump and learn how to win and play the right kind of football.
UK will now prepare for its first home game of the season, a noon contest on Saturday against Miami of Ohio. Alabama stays on top in this week's Associated Press College Football Poll. AP correspondent Jim Malatello has the standings.
The Crimson Tide's opening 35-10 win over Virginia Tech helped earn 58 of a possible 60 first-place votes. That locked up another week as number one for the defending national champs, but there's a new number two with Oregon moving up a notch. The 66-3 blowout win over Nicholls State nudged the Ducks ahead of Ohio State, which won its opener over Buffalo 40-20. Clemson bolted up four spots to number four after taking out previously fifth-ranked Georgia. Stanford is number five this week. Then it's South Carolina, Texas A&M, Louisville, LSU, and Florida State. Georgia dropped to 11. I'm Jim Militello.
Cincinnati Bengals pro defensive tackle Geno Atkins is happy he's finally worked out the details of his five-year reported $55 million contract extension. The two sides had been negotiating for several weeks. Atkins, though, insists that deal or no deal, his efforts on the field would have remained the same.
I mean, my whole mindset is I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing, which was go out there, play hard, play fast, and, you know, let the chips fall away. Maybe if I sign now or if I sign in the offseason, I mean, I was just going to continue. That was my mindset. I mean, I wasn't going to let this deal kind of distract me. I was just going to keep doing what I've been coached and taught to do.
Atkins last year led all of the NFL's interior linemen with 12.5 sacks. The Bengals have spent $180 million since the end of last season on new contracts for a dozen of their key players. The Morehead State volleyball team will make its first home appearance of the 2013 season tomorrow night at Weatherby Gym when it hosts Marshall at 7 o'clock. Coach Jamie Gordon feels like his Eagles performed well in going 1-2 against the likes of Tennessee, Butler, and Cincinnati in this past weekend season opening event at UC.
The other thing I think that's very positive out of this weekend is that we definitely see the things that we need to work on. And the team is very aware, and they bring to the table, hey, these are the things that we've got to be better at if we're going to continue the process of improving. And we're going to have to do that quick because we get ready to step on the court against a very, very talented Marshall team.
Marshall is 1-3 this season, including a 3-1 loss on Monday to Eastern Kentucky. Both Brown County soccer teams will be on the road tonight. The Viking boys will take on Madison Central as part of the Stoner Side Cup at Bourbon County. Coach Max Hammond's Rowan squad will carry a 3-1-1 record into battle.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone good so far. I mean, we've had a couple games where I would have liked to see better results out of, but overall it's went well.
As for the Lady Vikings, they'll take their 4-1-1 mark to West Carter tonight. And finally, a little tennis note, Victoria Azarenka had to work hard to make it into the women's quarterfinals at the U.S. Open, pulling out a 4-6, 6-3, 6-4 win over former French Open champ Anna Ivanovic. The second-seeded Azarenka took just over 2 hours, 10 minutes to close out the rain-delayed fourth-round match. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2013 football schedule featuring home games with Eastern Kentucky, Dayton, San Diego, and Butler. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks eked out gains, but Syria worries continue to weigh on the market, as earlier the blue chip average was up over 100 points. But at the close, as mentioned, worries about Syria continuing to outweigh a lot of things, and the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 23.65 at 14,833.96. The S&P 500 was up 6.8 at 1639.77. And the NASDAQ Composite, the best of your averages today, finishing with a gain of 22.74 at 3612.61. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 13 in favor of winners over losers today, and gold was up 1.3%, and oil finished with a gain of 0.625%, and of course oil probably helped out by the ongoing conflict or the potential of conflict in Syria. In individual company news, Microsoft dropped on news that it was going to acquire the phone business from Nokia today, and of course Nokia up strongly on that announcement. Apple gained after the tech giant issued an official invitation for an event on September 10th, and analysts widely expect the company to unveil a new iPhone. On the M&A front, Verizon announced that it will pay $130 billion to acquire Vodafone's 45% stake in their Verizon Wireless joint venture, and this will mark the third largest deal in corporate history. Vodafone CEO earlier said that they will use the cash earned from the deal to accelerate investment in Vodafone's own wireless networks and return $84 billion in cash and shares, or I should say cash, to shareholders. On the economic front, the manufacturing sector grew last month to 55.7, which is its fastest pace in more than 2 years, according to the Institute for Supply Management. A reading above 50 indicates expansion in the sector, and construction spending gained 0.6% to an annual rate of $901 billion, topping expectations of a gain of 0.3%. In overseas trading, the Japanese Nikkei average led Asian stocks higher after better-than-expected manufacturing data from Europe and China lifted hopes that a global economic recovery was in progress. Data out on Monday showed Chinese manufacturing hit a four-month high in August, and Eurozone factory activity rose at its fastest pace since May 2011. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 26 cents at 87.47, CSX up 30 cents at 24.91, AEP down 64 cents at 42.16, AK Steel down a penny at 3.35, and Marathon Petroleum was up 93 cents to finish at 73.44. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear with areas of fog late, lows around 55. Tomorrow, sunny with highs near 82. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly clear with areas of valley fog during the late night and early morning hours with lows around 56 and highs in the lower 80s. Currently in Ashland, it's 78, Flemingsburg 76, Winchester 78, Lexington 76, Inez 77, and in Moorhead it is 80 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Sam Steyert, Asa Hosada, and Arlo Barnett. From Kentucky Public Radio, Stu Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.